everybody. Welcome back to the Story Song Podcast. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Rachel Oakes.
And I'm Michael Gazelle.
This is a special mini-sode where we are going to talk about Halloween songs. Here's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We are going to decide right now, and this will be binding around the world.
Yep.
For generations to come. Mm-hmm. We're going to decide on the 8 songs that belong in the Halloween song canon.
You know that gold record that Carl Sagan made that had all the information on it that he's giving to aliens? It's going to be on that thing. We're making our own.
That he's giving to aliens. Yes.
Yeah. That's what he has all the information to like restart civilization in case aliens come down. They have all the information.
Yeah. His has like the Pythagorean theorem on it.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And ours has a lot of theories about.
Right.
You know.
Halloween songs.
Halloween songs, sure.
Both valid and necessary when aliens show up.
They're going to be like, what are the Halloween songs? Mm-hmm. First, take us to our leader. Second of all, what are your read Halloween songs? Tell us right now. Here's why we're doing this. I was just sort of thinking about Halloween songs in relation to Christmas songs, right? Because Christmas songs, it's pretty obvious, like, what are the Christmas songs and what aren't. And as we've talked about, Christmas is this blob that sucks in everything from, like, winter songs, right? Songs that just, like, mention winter. It's like, oh, it's a Christmas song now. And now, like, the song Hallelujah, much to my chagrin, is, like, slowly becoming a Christmas song, even though it's, like, it just mentions the word Hallelujah, which is, like, sort of related to Christmas. Anyway, but Halloween songs, like, there's no definitive, like, this is what a Halloween song is versus this is not what a Halloween song is. And one problem with Halloween songs, number one, is that a lot of times the songs are actually metaphors, because things like monsters and spooky stuff is good for metaphors. So just as an example, one song we have on our long list here is the song She-Wolf by Shakira. Now, what that song is about is that Shakira is a button-down lady in her normal life, but she wants to go out to the clubs and party, and she's like a she-wolf who's coming out, right? And that's a metaphor for the way she's acting, as opposed to something like Santa Claus is Coming to Town, which is a song about the fact that Santa Claus is coming to town. There's no metaphor, right?
Well, so, if you think about it.
I mean, they both want to go clubbing.
Yes.
So
Santa Claus is coming to town to go clubbing.
Yeah, he wants to go to Studio 54. He's not going to, like, that's not even during Christmas time. Santa Claus is coming to town around July because Liza told him that she could get him into Studio 54.
So that's problem number one with Halloween songs. Mm-hmm. Problem number two is that you got to really ride that line between, like, spooky and fun and then, like, genuinely upsetting. Occasionally songs are about things that are genuinely upsetting.
Right.
And then people have them on the list of, like, the best Halloween songs. Guys, writers of BuzzFeed or whatever, Zombie by the Cranberries is not a Halloween song. It's about a terrorist attack, okay? It's about real people who died. Stop putting it on the list. I know it has the word zombie in it.
Yeah.
But that doesn't count, okay?
Yeah.
You can put it on a list of, like, great songs of the 90s. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it's not a Halloween song. And I get it. Like, because there are also, like, the people who have, like, the super disturbing Halloween decorations. And you're like, guys, this is supposed to be fun. It's for kids.
Yeah.
Let's take it back. Just take it back, like, half a notch, please. All right? Can we? Okay? So that's
like
the second
people
problem.
Who decorate their front yards with, like, actual axe murderers. Is that
that's what I'm
what
talking about?
Yeah,
that's
or like
what
those
I'm talking
literal
about.
Haunted houses where they're like, yeah, but this is like this stuff could really happen to you, and it's like, but that's not the point of a haunted house.
Yeah,
that's not fun. How is this fun?
This is a total side note, but I am always fascinated by, like, the weird trends that come up, like, throughout the holidays. The last couple of years, Halloween equals tall. I don't understand why.
Yeah.
You gotta have those big skeletons. But there is an arms race. There is an arms race for who can have the tallest skeleton on their lawn, and I don't understand why it's happening.
Gotta get that 12-foot skeleton, baby.
I don't
He's
get it.
He's living his best life.
But that's the problem, is if everyone else got the 12-foot, some guy's like, well, I gotta get 15-foot. It's like, at some point, one of these things is gonna fall over and crush someone to death, and then we're gonna have a national reckoning with how tall these skeletons are getting. But I digress. So, again, you don't have the problem with Christmas, again, in contrast to that. No Christmas song has ever been too Christmassy, right? You know, you can't go too far, whereas with Halloween, you can. So We want to ride that line between spooky and fun, right? And, I mean, you guys, what's going to happen is that you guys are going to nominate a song, and we'll decide whether or not it should go in the canon. Again, I think it should be more on the, like, the actual spooky stuff is happening, not so much a metaphor. But, again, we can talk about that. It's totally fine.
Okay.
So you're saying we should read past the song title?
Well, again, this is the problem. Some people don't. So, but whatever you got, there's no rules. If you guys want to nominate a song, we will talk about it. I think the other criteria is just going to be relevance, right? Because There's a lot of like, let's say a hypothetical like 20-year-old at a Halloween party, when they hear this song, will they know the song? Will they care about the song? Whatever. Again, it's not a criteria. You can make an argument for whatever. The thing with Christmas songs is they're everybody knows like White Christmas, even though it's like a million years old.
Yeah.
But Halloween songs are more likely to sort of fade away from the public consciousness. So, having said that, we have 8 slots. We've already filled in 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you, the listener at home, will agree. Number 1 is the Monster Mash by Bobby Boris Spigot.
He did the Monster Mash.
Number 2 is Thriller by Michael Jackson.
And if you disagree with those two, we cannot help you. If you don't think
those
are in the canon, I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, I really don't know. I mean, the Monster Mash. Well, let's start here. The Monster Mash is the only, I would say, verifiable, without any question, Halloween song.
He had a vision and he went with it.
Well, but here's the thing. A, not a metaphor. It's literally about monsters. The monsters are not a metaphor for the ills of 1950s America. They're about monsters, okay? The monsters represent monsters. And they're having a party. So the spooky and the fun, right? It's perfect, okay? So that's definitely a Halloween song. And then Thriller also is like a really good one. Reasons why. I mean, besides the fact that it's a great song and it's about, you know, scary stuff. Special effects, right? Creeping coffins, chains, wolf howls. This is the stuff of Halloween. An organ. I'm going to talk about that sometimes. You want that organ sound in there for all. Because you hear that and you're like, it'd be like Halloween. And then number 3, Vincent Price. You really can't go wrong.
No.
The man is the voice of Halloween. So Those two, I think, are definitive.
Both of those songs have Halloween sound effects in them.
Yeah, that's true.
Cauldrons.
Right.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, the Monster Mash has got it all. The Monster Mash is the platonic ideal of the Halloween song. We can agree. Yes. We can agree with that.
Yes.
So I'm going to throw it out there. Does anyone want to nominate a song for the Halloween canon? Go ahead. Go for it.
So I'm not going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go safe for my first one. And I'm going to say that This Is Halloween.
Whoa,
by Danny Elfman.
Sure.
And The Nightmare Before Christmas would be in that canon.
Halloween, this is Halloween. This is Halloween.
I think that it's written by Danny Elfman, which, P.S., we can get into further, but Danny Elfman himself is a pretty good Halloween person.
Agreed.
You know? Just the lyrics themselves really just lend themselves. Now, is it cheating a little bit because it comes from a Christmas/Halloween movie? Maybe. And that it's written specifically for that? Maybe. But it does have a lot going for it because it has, it literally says this is Halloween. It has.
It's hard. I will say, let me stop right there and say hard to argue. That it literally says this is Halloween. It's really the lyrics hard. Are hard to argue.
It talks about trick-or-treating. It talks about like ghouls and like snakes and spiders and things creeping under the bed and things like that. So I would say that if you have to have, if you're doing a top eight, This Is Halloween has to be in there.
Here's, okay. I got a couple of things.
Okay.
I'm not going to argue. All right. But number one, I think it being from a movie is fine.
Okay.
Christmas song, like White Christmas is from the movie White Christmas.
That's true.
Right?
Well, it's from the movie Holiday Inn.
That's true. That Michael's right.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Wow. I cannot even explain how much anger that fills me. The song White Christmas is not from the movie White Christmas. Why would they do that to me? Why would they make it so complicated? It doesn't matter. I understand.
The song became so popular, they made a movie around White Christmas.
I can't blame them. They didn't know the song was going to become that popular. It's fine. Okay, well, anyway, it's from a movie.
Yeah.
Obviously, right? The other thing is that I went through, like, you know, albums of, like, Halloween, Halloween Party. And then I have, like, the theme to The Twilight Zone. Mm-hmm. The theme to Rosemary's Baby. Which is like, those songs are not spooky on their own. You have to know where they're from. But then I was like, but then that's also true of the Peanuts, the Linus and Lucy. There's no connection to Christmas just from the song alone. It's just that you hear it.
Or you mean when Mr. Grinch.
That is a perfect example. As I've said many times, I would love for someone like from another culture to come here, hear that song and be like, now tell me why that's a Christmas song. because it doesn't mention Christmas at all, and it just talks about how this guy is a huge jerk. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
but we know it's fine. So the movie part is fine. Hard to argue with the lyrics because they literally say this is Halloween. Here's my one thing though: if you're at a Halloween party, can you dance to this song, or is it a bit of a record scratch? Like, what are we listening to when we're out on the dance floor?
But I think here is the thing.
Yeah.
Here is the thing. When you're at a Christmas party, you're not sitting there on the dance floor booping and a bopping all the time.
I agree.
You need a mix of songs. So Christmas carols aren't meant for dancing all the time. They're meant for, you know, having a drink around the punch bowl, bobbing for apples. I mean, Christmas carols aren't, but the Halloween songs, you have to have you have to have time to walk over to the table and get those pretzel rods that are dipped in chocolate with the almond piece on it so it looks like a witch's finger. Do you know what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying? Like,
oh, my, Rachel, you got to reach in and feel the witch's eyeballs.
That's right. Don't worry.
Rich, which part? It's peeled grapes.
And they're just peeled grapes, you guys. It's okay. They're just peeled grapes.
That witch's hair? It's just cold spaghetti.
It's just cold spaghetti, you guys. It's fine. But so I think that there has to be
good.
Put them together? Weird, but delicious.
You have grapes and cold spaghetti? Mm, all right.
So I think there has to be... Great. My stomach hurts.
It's all part of the experience.
And one very tiny Snickers bar. Like, I'm talking like this.
The square
like
one,
this
the tiny bit. Square one.
Like, the little square one.
The
yeah,
little square
yeah,
one. Little that just has like the S like, on it.
The kind that... That's right, it's just the S though. The kind that you're like, you know what? I don't know if it was even worth unwrapping.
Yeah.
It took longer to unwrap it than it did
to eat it.
To eat
it's
it.
Like, oh, just melted. But so I think that that's what This Is Halloween is. It sets a bit of a mood. It's a little peppy. It's a little lighthearted. But the lyrics themselves give you the sense of it's kind of creepy. So it has that. It's that. You know what it is? It's creepy kid sound. That's what This Is Halloween gives you. Because it's that la 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 la, this is Halloween. And it has kid voices in it. And that's what you need. Because there's nothing creepier than creepy kid voices.
So not a
Catherine O'Hara.
Nice. All right, Michael. So we're going to put that in. So now our canon is Monster Mash, Thriller, and This Is Halloween. You know what This Is Halloween needs, though? Is like, it needs like a Ariana Grande like cover. Right, it needs something that's not, you know what I mean? Like, I think it just needs like to get out of the strict movie form of it, mm-hmm. but that's just me. I'm just, because I agree with you, Rachel. Because the thing with the Christmas carols, I agree with you, is that, you know me, there's nothing I like more, like Christmas Eve sitting there in a sweater with an eggnog listening to some Bing Crosby, right? But that's not the vibe at Halloween. You're not sitting around like after a long day, you know, just soaking in
soundtrack.
The vibe. I'm just saying, it's more of a booping and a bopping time, right. I think, anyway,
you
know for Halloween.
You got Bebo.
You got Bebo.
How old is Bebo?
I don't know.
Now.
But I know that there's the movie version,
and then there's Bebo.
And there's the pop version, and Bebo does the pop version.
It is oldest. All right. Michael, what do you think? You got one here for us?
I do. I don't know if I should do a safe one or kind of an out there one.
Hey, man. It's up to you.
What do you think? What would you do?
You live your best life, Michael.
Yeah. What do you think? Just pick one.
All right. I'm going to do a fun one.
Okay.
Do it.
I'm going to say, "You're the Devil in Disguise" by Mr. Elvis Presley.
You're the devil in disguise, for yes you are, devil in disguise.
Here's the thing, Michael. I said nothing could possibly happen. You're fired from the show. What a terrible joke. No. great song, okay? Devil in Disguise. Here's a question, and I'm literally just throwing this up. I'm not going to listen to that. Does he literally think she's the devil, or is this a metaphor? Because if he literally thinks she's the devil, for me, this is a slam dunk in terms of Halloween
song.
Well,
okay, so the...
Like, as Elvis dancing with her, looks down, sees, you know, hooves under the dress, and it was like, oh, I got you. You're the devil in disguise. I see what's happening here.
He says in the song, "You fooled me with your kisses, you cheated and you schemed. Heaven knows how you lied to me. You're not the way you seemed." That's,
yeah.
I mean, fooling him with your kisses, the song's from, like, I think it's like mid 60s, might be earlier. So that's the devil's work right there.
Okay.
No, I think what I like about this song is, one, you've got, I mean, the devil works for Halloween regardless.
Yes. Well, because here's the thing. I agree with you, Michael, totally. But if we're talking like actual Satan, like Exorcist Satan, too scary.
Right.
But if we're talking about, you know, little red horn and a little pitchfork, right? You know what I mean? Right. Like a little kid dressed up like the devil. That's great. If that's what we're talking about, then I'm on board. Okay? And don't even get me started on sexy devil. Let's not even go down that road. Let's stay on little kid devil for the moment and just say that's, but again, lighthearted, fun devil. If that's what we're talking about, then I'm on board. I love
it. And the song itself is lighthearted and fun, even though it's about somebody cheating and thereby being the devil to him. The idea of the devil is Halloweenish, and the fact that he mentions a disguise, like he's mm-hmm. already talking about Halloween costumes, so I think it's got that. It's also sort of like light and kind of fun, and it's a little bit of a dancey song, so at a Halloween party you're not really going to be thoroughly analyzing the lyrics to be like, wait a minute, this isn't haunted. You're going to hear like Devil in Disguise. You're going to be like, okay, this is a Halloween song. I'm going to, you know, it's in between bobbing for apples. So mm-hmm. you're going to be underwater mm-hmm. for half the song. So you're just going to hear the chorus.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to allow it. I do. My one last question here in terms of putting it into the canon is relevant. How many people are going to hear this song and be like, oh, Devil in Disguise, or be like, what is this old junk? You know what I mean? Like,
it's okay. I'm not going to acknowledge that. It's
no, Michael, I'm not. That's not me.
But
that's not me talking.
No, I think
I love this song. I'm saying in terms of, because let me just start a scenario. Okay. Because mm-hmm. I've said many times across the street of my house, is the school, and we go to the trunk or treat, right? And they have a DJ, and he plays quote-unquote Halloween music. And I am always fascinated to see what songs he's going to play, because these songs are for 10-year-olds, right? So my question is, he's ever played Devil in Disguise? I can tell you that right off the bat. But I'm just wondering, and this is not, you know, this is not disqualify this any song, but I'm just saying relevance wise, like, is this, you know, how many people are going to care about this song coming out? Be like, ooh, I love this song. Again, relatively, I'm not saying me. I'm saying like general population. You poll. We asked 50 people, right? Name your top 8 Halloween songs. How many people are going to know this song?
Well, I mean, how many people are going to have 8 Halloween songs? They're going to be like, I'll get back to you in 2 days. I think enough people know this song, but I also think whether or not they know it, they would recognize Elvis's voice. And I think that would do it. Elvis himself is timeless, and I think recognizing his voice, people would pay attention to the song, whether or not they know the song. Also, I think more people would know it than you would think. The song was featured in Lilo and Stitch, and I think most people are at least familiar with that movie.
I do agree with that. This song is used more than you think in movies and in TV because of the Devil in Disguise aspect of it. And I agree. Okay. I agree with Michael about the Elvis situation. That Elvis is going to be around for forever. He just keeps on hanging on. Not in a bad way. I didn't mean that like, let's give it up, Elvis. But he just, you know, there's a timelessness to him. But the phrase "Devil in Disguise" just lends itself to being utilized over and over and over again in movies and television.
By the way, the Elvis situation is the name of my Elvis cover band. If you guys want to audition, we're having auditions on Wednesday.
Okay. I was going to say, if you guys want to audition for my Elvis cover band, which is called Give It Up Elvis. I'm just going to say this right now. Not respectful of the material. Right. It's right off the bat. So be ready for that. All right. So let's talk about a couple of heavy hitters.
Okay.
I'm just going to. The song Ghostbusters by Ray Parker Jr. Weirdly, I'm going to say the relevance is high. For some reason, Ghostbusters never goes away.
No.
They just came out with a Ghostbusters movie a couple of years ago. I'm actually not, I really can't explain why. Because, it you know what I mean? Like, Ghostbusters, it was a great movie, but it's like a dumb 80s comedy. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's still talking about like Caddyshack or whatever. Yeah, for some reason, Ghostbusters is hanging on. Maybe it's the Halloween connection. I don't know. But that's one that's floating out there. I think that's one you hear a lot.
Yeah.
Right? It's got the spooky organ in the beginning. It's good. It mentions the word Ghostbusters. Let me do a quick count. 70 billion times. So that helps. I Ain't Afraid of No Ghost, right? Hard to argue that. You know, who are you going to call? Not related to Halloween, but that's okay. Somebody's Watching Me by Rockwell. This is one that I feel like is starting to, I feel like it's starting to fade. You know, I think also obviously having double Michael Jackson on here. I also saw again a BuzzFeed list that credited this song to Michael Jackson, rude to Rockwell.
Whoa.
poor Rockwell.
But when we did this song, there are some, in my mind, some pretty glaring flaws in this song. That when you hear it the first time, don't really bother you. But when you hear it the thousandth time, start to really grate on you. So I think that's a problem.
Is it the IRS for this situation? Song.
There's look at IRS. There's just a couple things. You're like, come on, man. Please.
I agree with that. I think we can kick Somebody's Watching Me down off
so,
the list there.
So again, so spooky. By Classics 4, which I'm going to reveal that
spoiler alert
that we were going to talk about this song in the near future, but that song, not other than the word spooky, and he says, I propose on Halloween, not really related to Halloween at all, because nothing the character does in the song is all that spooky. She's just kind of flighty.
Not on the surface.
And flirty. So it has the word spooky in it, but I'm going to say that one's not that spooky. So I'm going to throw out one that I think is a great song. And even though maybe the connection to Halloween is a little tentative, I'm going to talk about it. Mm-hmm. Superstition by Stevie Wonder. Just because it's, again, not a metaphor. I mean, it is a metaphor, but he's saying, like, the people who believe in superstitions are, like, scared their whole lives and, you know, break the mirror in 7 years of bad luck and all that stuff. It has a nice, cool, spooky vibe, not terrifying vibe. Not, like, I have to put my hands in front of my eyes. I'm so scared vibe. And not like, oh no, this is getting too real vibe. Like this is talking about real stuff. It's got a nice spooky, like, again, the word spooky. I'm not going to apply it to the song spooky. I'm going to apply it to this song. And it's just kind of like, ooh, give me a little bit of a chill. But it's not really that scary.
You could see it being, you could see there being, there probably is a movie of somebody who is too superstitious and these things keep on happening to them, and that being a Halloween movie. Do you know what I mean? Like these superstitions coming true to this person. You know what I mean? Because they keep breaking these superstitions or something. So you could see that being a Halloween movie. And so this song could be a Halloween song.
If that's not a Halloween movie, we copyright that movie.
Yep, that's right. That's right. We're going to do it. Yep, that's our movie. That's right. Yep.
I think it's a really good one. And of course, great song. Great song to bop along to, whether or not you're dancing, you're bobbing for apples, you're having a tiny Snickers, you're in a sweater and you're drinking eggnog and you're on the wrong holiday. Anyway, I think it really works. So that's going to be the one I'm going to put on the board, if that's okay with you guys.
And I think that song stays relevant. You know, the song's like 1972, and it's never gone away, which is great because it's an amazing song. But it's, you can still hear it on the radio. You could still hear it actively wherever you are. Like, it's a great song that everybody knows.
Yeah.
While we're on the topic, I just want to say another song that mentions Halloween is, of course, I Just Called to Say I Love You by Stevie Wonder, where he mentions all of the holidays.
That's right.
And says, I actually was trying to quickly find, he says no Halloween. And
yeah,
the one thing I have to say to Stevie Wonder is, how many people call you for Halloween, Stevie? I mean, who are just like, hey, I just called because it's Halloween.
Just wanted to wish you.
Just want to wish you a happy Halloween. Just saying. Just throwing it out there. But that could be, again, if we go with the spooky, you know, criteria, that potentially could be a Halloween song. He does say the word Halloween. Mm-hmm. But we'll put that towards the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
I'd love to be at a Halloween party. I just called to say I love you. Comes on, and the DJ is just like, by the way, everybody, he says the word Halloween, so it counts. Nobody get mad at me.
This is on my playlist for Halloween, Christmas, and everybody's wedding.
It's also on my playlist for the summer solstice. What else is he mentioning here? April showers. It's my April showers playlist. Anyway.
Also, I have this as my outgoing message on my answering machine. It really covers all bases.
All right, so I think we're back around to Rachel.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, let's do it real quick. Monster Mash Thriller. This is Halloween. Mm-hmm. You're the devil in the skies. Superstition. Rachel, you're up next. What do you got?
So, okay, this is hard. It's getting harder now. So I have one that I threw on there late, and I'm not going to put it on there, I think, mostly because of the relevance situation. I don't think enough people know it. But I do want to give it a special shout out. The song Every Day is Halloween by Ministry. And I dress this way to keep the fake Halloween is every day. The song is not specifically about Halloween. It's about somebody who's basically, you know, dresses like a freak and all in black and like hangs out with spiders and, you know, lizards and stuff. And everybody looks at them and calls them a freak. And so basically their idea is that, you know, so every day is Halloween to me. The reason I love it is because it's kind of like those Christmas songs where it's like, I wish it was Christmas every day. I have the Christmas spirit in me all the time, except for Halloween. And it's done by Ministry. I don't think it can be in the canon, but I wanted to give it a special shout out because I think that it is definitely a, like, you know, it has the Halloween spirit in it.
Okay.
But
I love it.
But you probably won't hear it, ironically, in a Halloween spirit store. Which is weird.
Potentially.
So.
It sounds like I was once in a store around Christmas time and heard Christmas from The Who's Tommy playing on the in-store radio. And it was like, this is not a Very Christmas
weird.
Song.
Very weird. Very weird.
And they were like, but the title.
Yeah. I was going to say, Rachel, the funny thing about In a Spirit of Halloween, a song you would probably hear is like, I don't know, Levitating by Dua Lipa. I don't think they're playing Halloween music. I think they're just playing whatever's on the radio.
That's
true. I mean, whatever. It doesn't
matter.
That's true. It's fine.
So
here's your magical student costume. Enjoy that.
So
here's your bad bass superhero. You mean Batman? Do not say it out loud. Do not say it out loud. there's a lawyer at the door for DC right there. And if he hears you say it, we will get sued. This is a flying rodent-based superhero costume. Take it outside now.
Super arachnid person.
So I am so torn on this. But I think.
Is it torn? That's a good song.
I'm all out of shape. I think.
This is how I feel.
I think I've got to go with Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon. I think I do. And I feel like, Dan, you might have gone for this one, but I think I've got to go.
No, it's okay.
Werewolves of London. First of all, because of the Au.
Yes. I mean, I would say number one reason is because, again, if you're at a Halloween party and you're kind of half listening, if you hear them go, Au, you're like, yeah, this is a Halloween song. There's no question about it. I got it.
It's very sort of danceable. You know, sort of like shuffly danceable.
It's got that great, yeah. You could definitely do a white guy dance.
Oh, yeah.
You could do a little shuffle of like, I'm not really on rhythm, but it doesn't matter. Everything's fine. I'm biting my top lip.
Yeah.
Mom, you dancing around.
Lon Chaney is involved in it. You know, there's...
That's some, yeah.
I think that this song, I don't see it becoming irrelevant. I think that it's strong enough in pop culture that it's gonna stay put.
Now it is, I will say one thing, it is a bit of a metaphor.
Okay.
That is
right.
That is one thing. Mm-hmm. Just saying, it is a little bit of a metaphor.
Well, I didn't actually believe that he was just talking about a bunch of werewolves running around London.
Well, I only wanted to mention just because I love the metaphor. That's all. That it's really about, like, you know, Reagan era corporate greeters, because there are these, like, these guys who are like inhuman werewolves just destroying people, and then but his hair is perfect. Like,
yeah.
That's just a great metaphor. I love it.
Well, I mean, again, like one of my other ones that I was gonna, like, if I can say real quick, one of my other ones that I was
sure.
gonna say, but really isn't, can't be used at all, is Ghost Town by The Specials. This time. The sound is so eerie, but it's about a town that has fallen on hard times and, like, right. you know, basically the factory right. is shut down and, you know.
But it does have, I know it's Adult Suey, but it does have the creepy kid voices.
Right.
Yeah, that part is. So I'm saying yes to Werewolves of London because
Michael,
it's definitely.
Do you concur?
With the woos, it's definitely unquestionably Halloween.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's a little bit of a metaphor, but it's enough talking about the werewolves. I think that's we got enough there. Number three is the relevance. And this is the part that's going to be hard. Because I think, unfortunately, it is relevant. Because of Kid Rock. This is hard. This is hard to talk about. But unfortunately, I think people, when they hear this song, they'll know it because of what Kid Rock has done to it. Unfortunately. So in some ways, it has made it more relevant and has made it the least relevant it could possibly be.
That's true.
Because people are going to hear this and be like, oh, it's not the Kid Rock song. Oh, darn. I like that Kid Rock song. And then I am just seething with rage, with an impotent rage behind them. But then at least I'd be like, well, this is the original. I could be all smug.
Yeah.
Explain how this is the
original. True.
What I love to do. So really everyone wins. But yeah, so I think with those three criteria, I think this one definitely goes in. Good job. All right. So we have Monster Mash, Thriller, This Is Halloween, You're the Devil in Disguise, Superstition, Werewolves of London. Michael, hit me. What's your next nominee?
My next Halloween song is Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree by Brenda Lee.
I'm already terrified.
I don't know about you guys, but I start listening to Christmas music in late September. So I hear this every Halloween, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Just kidding. Not about listening to Christmas music in late September. I do that. Start sometime in April. I'd like to do an honorable mention, if I may, because I don't think this necessarily would fit the list. But I got to do a show tune, you guys. I'm going to say The Phantom of the Opera by Andrew Lloyd Webber. The Phantom of the Opera. One, it has an organ.
Mm-hmm.
Two, it's got what sounds like synth drums, so it's a little bit fun to, you could sort of bop to it. Three, it's creepy. It's got that operatic feel to it. It's got those really high notes at the end that add to its creepiness. It's literally about somebody who is haunting somebody else.
Yeah.
There's a man who lives in the basement and he's making you sing.
I mean, it's specifically about a classic horror. It's a classic horror monster.
I've not heard it recently, I will confess. But we're hanging out of the park. It feels a little too Broadway show tuney.
But
I think especially 80s.
If you put a Halloween party and a cast
right.
party together.
Well,
you got the perfect song.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
What you have is me leaving early, but let's let's not talk about it. What I was going to say, Michael, is what I think we need here, because I think it needs to be, because it fits into the musical, right? Which is understandable. Like, I think with the show. What we need is we need a different arrangement. We need to cut it up, move some stuff around. And I need like an Olivia Rodrigo to like record this version and then really push it for Halloween. I just think the original version, I think, is a little too serving the musical and not serving this is a song, if that makes sense. So I just need a couple of snip tucks here, a couple of changes, take out that 80s drum machine sound. Let's get something a little more modern here. But otherwise, especially for the relevancy, but I like where your head's at. You're definitely, I for an honorable mention, I love this.
Okay, so you're saying you don't want Michael Crawford and Sarah Brightman? We gotta get Peebo.
We gotta get Peebo.
Let's get Peebo. I feel like Peebo is a lateral move. I'm gonna be honest with you, but Who am I? I don't know. Maybe the kids out there are loving Peebo. I don't know.
Everybody loves Peebo.
Peebo's burning up the charts right now.
And I think it's the perfect song if your local community theater production of A Chorus Line happens to open in late October and you have like a Halloween slash
cast party.
Of course. Again, Michael, yes. For the cast party, I understand.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be singing along. It's going to be exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
So my actual next nominee is Grim Grinning Ghosts.
Oh, okay.
Disney's Haunted Mansion attraction.
When the crypt doors creak and the tombstones quake,
spooks come out for swing and wake.
Happy haunts materialize
and begin to vocalize. Grim Grinning Ghosts come out to socialize.
Here's what I'll say about this. It's spooky in a fun way. It's kind of goofy. Not like goofy, but like, but it's not scary. It's spooky. It's fun. It's got the organ sound in it. It instantly takes you. If you've been to that ride, it instantly takes you there. It's got that Disney type of spooky, which is appropriate for a party. And it's one of those songs where people might not know it instantly, but once they hear it, they'll be like, is this a song from the Haunted Mansion? And no one's really going to dance to it, but they're going to enjoy it.
It's a little something for the kids.
Yeah.
Here's my problem.
Okay.
It's not with the science. My issue is, I feel like you can't have This Is Halloween and Grim Grinning Ghosts on the same. I feel like it's too much Disney, that Disney music sound. Mm-hmm. One is fine, but two, I feel like, is too much.
So I'm going to disagree just because I don't think you could have them back to back.
Okay.
But if you wanted to, say we're putting together a record. Right. Side one starts with This Is Halloween. Side two starts with Grim Grinning Ghosts. You got yourself an album.
I'm just thinking, here's the thing. And it's because I'm an old man. I'm thinking like old school mixtape rules.
Mm-hmm.
You could have one fun novelty song. But when you put two fun novelty songs, then that means you're not cool. That means you just like novelty songs. Right? You put one on and the people are like, oh, I get it. You put a fun novelty song on with all these other really cool songs on your mixtape, that's fun. But then you put two Weird Al songs and now people start to question your actual taste. That's what I'm not saying anything wrong with Weird Al.
I'm saying, disagree with you right there.
But I'm saying on the mix, Michael, when you're putting on the super cool songs, you're going to have the one fun song on there.
Okay.
But you don't want to have more than one. That's what you just want, the one pop of the like, oh, I get it. You put on, you know, I don't know, whatever. Picked your fun novelty song up here.
But I think that if you're...
I have a mixtape that's just Who Let the Dogs Out for
no, Michael, I know.
45 minutes on each side.
Again, Michael, we're trying to think, you know, globally, right? Not everyone has that tape. Not everyone is going to a cast party. You see what I'm saying? We're trying to open this thing
First
up.
First of all, they should, because it's fun.
But sure. I am thinking globally, because everybody is looking for Who Let the Dogs Out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's true. If you have a Halloween album and you're like, we can only have one novelty song on it, the answer is, well, then we can't have a Halloween album.
I'm not saying no. I'm just saying, again, I've already put it on the list. So I'm not arguing.
I understand what you're saying. I'm just saying
one or the other. Right? Because you want a bunch of cool rock songs and like pop songs that people are dancing to. And then when the one fun one comes up, everyone goes, oh, that's so funny. You put on This Is Halloween. But then you play Devil in the Skies and it's funny. And then Grim Grinning Ghosts come on. People are like, oh, so it's going to be this kind of fun. I see.
But
we're
going
to play these songs.
But I think they're different purposes. So you start with the Monster Mash because It starts with the bubbling and stuff. Listen.
Sure,
listen.
The only thing I would say is the Monster Mash is grandfathered in.
You start as people are walking into this party, the Monster Mash is happening, and people are like, Yep, I'm at a Halloween party.
What I'm trying to say, Rachel, is if you had a Halloween party and you don't play the Monster Mash, you will be arrested.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. They will come to your house and drag you away. And the person who comes to your house is going to be Frankenstein. So you know he can do it.
But you have, like, what I'm saying is then this is Halloween. The purpose of this is Halloween is to give you that kind of, again, like that Danny Elfman vibe. It gives you, it gets you into that kind of mood. The Grim Grinning Ghost is later on in the evening. It's more lighthearted. You've played things like Werewolves of London. You've played things like Your Devil in Disguise and Thriller. And you're, like, just about to bring out the, like, Rice Krispie treats that you made look like grave, like headstones, and you need to make it a little lighthearted. Uh-huh. So you
sounds
put
like
in grim grinning ghosts.
You're just saying it sounds like a great party. There's nothing better. I just want to say there's nothing better than a nice Rice Krispie treat when you are like four rum and cokes in. You know what I mean? And you're like, why don't I eat this all the time?
I should
this
just make
so
it for
good.
Myself.
You know what? Saturday morning, I'm just going to make these. I'm just going to make it. I'm going to eat the whole tray and nobody can stop me.
It's breakfast. It's the most important meal of the day.
As I say, it's basically breakfast.
All right. So if this song comes on at a party, you can't be like, hey, this is a serious Halloween party. Everybody keep it to a whisper and one mini Mr. Good Bar each.
Right. Exactly.
I saw you have two crackles. No crackles.
All right. Okay.
The other thing I will say in defense of Grim Grinning Ghosts is this song, this is a Disney song. You can get Peebo.
Yeah.
Oh, you want Peebo to do it?
I want Peebo to do everything.
I was like, do you want my mixtape that's just 45 minutes of Peebo singing Who Let the Dogs Out? It is my most prized possession. I just called to say Happy Halloween. And give you my tape. Okay. All right. Okay. So here's what we got. The Monster Mash Thriller. This is Halloween. The Devil in Disguise, Superstition. Werewolves of London. Grim Grinning Ghosts. Now, I was imagining. All right. Let's knock off a couple. Let's mention a couple of these ones on the list. Season of the Witch by Donovan. Great song.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely could be on the long list. Yeah, I don't know. It just feels too weird for like a Halloween party. A Nightmare on My Street by DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. I just think relevance-wise, it's out of there. Also, like, is like, kind of genuinely terrifying. One thing I love about the old Fresh Prince stuff is that, so in this song, he gets attacked by Freddy Krueger, which, by the way, is why they got sued, because they very much did not have the rights to Freddy Krueger. They just recorded this song and released it. But, he gets attacked by Freddy Krueger. He has all of my Fresh Prince. In this song, he just runs away. That's it. He's like, I got up and ran away out of the house. Very similar to his song, I Can Fight Mike Tyson, in which he fights Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson knocks him out in one punch. I really enjoy that about the old Will Smith stuff. He was like, yeah, if I get attacked by Freddy Krueger, I'm just going to run away, guys. I'm not like a cool rapper who's like, oh, then I beat up Freddy Krueger. He's like, I got out of the house, and I ran half a block away. Awesome. Purple People Eater, Too Kitty, and no more relevance.
Yeah.
That thing is largely forgotten about. Don't Fear the Reaper, good song, too long. I think
too long.
About halfway through, you want another song to come on.
Yeah.
By the way, I was listening to oldies radio, driving around like a weird part of upstate New York, and they played American Pie on the radio, and they just faded it out halfway through.
They're like, "We're done."
Why bother playing it? You're just gonna fade it out. So weird. They didn't do like the last two verses.
Did you write the what? Mm-hmm. Did you write the what?
Yeah.
Book of Love.
Exactly.
Are you saying that you're gonna have a Halloween party with no BOC?
I mean, again, if it's on the long list, definitely. Yeah. But again, I just think I don't know. For me, I feel like it's too long. That people are gonna get tired of it.
Well, and you can't really the dance. Radio edit.
Sure. Well, since I get, or I just fade it out on the stereo. Like, all right, the sun's over, guys. Bye. Where was I? Oh, I just wanted to say Dead Man's Party. Obviously, we already have Danny Elfman on there.
Yep.
I always felt like Dead Man's Party, good song. He needed one more verse. Yeah. It repeats too much. Danny, just write one more verse. That's all you had to do. I feel like that's the one flaw with that song.
Also,
you're never like, wait, is this the beginning of the song or towards the end? Because it just repeats the same thing four times.
Yeah. Also, Dead Man's Party, I think, is specifically for when your dad goes back to school and you're in a swimming competition, a diving competition. So
that is true.
Very
specific. Pet Sematary by the Ramones, I just want to call out because I believe it's a Heartlight situation. I think they just saw the movie Pet Sematary and decided to write a song about it. So that's fun.
Yep.
All right. So here's the one I'm going to throw out. So I'd love to do like Disturbia by Rihanna.
Yeah.
I listen to it. It's not really, I know, but it's just about her like being nervous. It's not really, and I just wanted something more, more modern, you know, for the kids. Dracula's Wedding by Outkast, good song, but also like, I don't know.
Kind of weird.
It doesn't really have anything to do with Dracula, is the one problem. Although they do have a bunch of vampire puns in the middle, which is fun. Yeah. They say like, what's at stake here, which is like really cool.
Yeah.
I don't know if cool was the right word I wanted, but it's fun. but that's good. But also a weird song. I don't know if you can really dance to it. So I am going to go out. I got to be true to myself. I am going to pick like a 70s song. And what I was thinking was, it's the end of the night now, right? Things are cooling down. People are, you know, and you want something that's got a good groove to it, but it's going to kind of take you out. And so I'm going to put on Black Magic Woman.
Got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman. I've got a black magic woman, got me so blind I can't see.
Okay.
I feel like that's a good chill song to end the night on, you know.
I mean, that guitar solo, whoo, doggy. That's a good one.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and it's got enough of the Halloween-y stuff in there, but not too much. To really hit that sweet spot. And I think Santana is pretty timeless. I think nobody's, no matter what their age, nobody's going to be mad when that comes on at the end of the night. Yeah. So I think people are going to be pretty happy with that. Now, if you're going from Grim Grinny Ghost directly into Black Magic Woman, that might be a jarring. Little bit of a record. Yeah, that might be a little jarring. But hopefully you got a couple of songs, you know.
Between there.
You play Ghostbusters and somebody's watching me.
Yeah.
And
yeah, we're not saying you can't play these other songs.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I will say this.
I mean, here's another one. But this is another one that was on the list. I'm sorry to go by this. Like Psycho Killer by the Talking Heads. Brilliant song. Great song, right? It's literally about like the Son of Sam. I don't want, it's too real, BuzzFeed. It's too real.
Yeah.
I don't want that at my fun Halloween party. Yeah. No, I'm saying no to Psycho Killer.
Well, it's funny because another one that's not on here that people might be like, well, what about this one? Another one is the Time Warp from Rocky Horror Picture Show. And I was like,
well, that's a good one. First of all, if you're at your cast party, you better be playing Time Warp.
Oh, you better. You better be lining up.
Let me clear on that.
Line dance. But you look into it and you're like, what's Halloween about it? Just that it's from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Right.
Well, but I think this is the Halloween version of You're a Mean One to Scrooge.
Yeah.
Like, it's only through the association.
Right.
There's nothing in the song that indicates.
Not really, no.
That it's a Halloween song. But I've also definitely heard this one in Trunk or Treat. So,
yeah,
it's in the mix.
Course.
But
of
it's,
course.
You know, it's, again, it's later. It's when he starts running out of songs to play that he gets down to that.
Yeah. But I don't know why they're not just playing all of Rocky Horror Picture Show then. You know?
Yeah, no. There's definitely nothing inappropriate that you wouldn't want to play at a school trunk or treat in the Rocky Horror Picture Show soundtrack.
Everything is fine.
Everything in there is fine. It's totally great. Yeah, no worries. All right, let's review our canon. So we have The Monster Mash by Bobby Boris Pickett, Thriller by Michael Jackson, This Is Halloween by the cast of The Nightmare Before Christmas, You're the Devil in Disguise by Elvis Presley, Superstition by Stevie Wonder, Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon, Grim Grinning Ghost by a ride, and Black Magic Woman by Carlos Santana.
You know what?
That's a pretty good Halloween party.
You know what I like about this?
Yeah.
Is it hits a lot of different types of Halloween tropes. You got your monsters, you got a thriller situation, you've got devils, you've got superstitions, you've got ghosts, werewolves, you got witches, you got it all.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You know what we didn't add there?
What?
What's that? Good, like the party's winding down, you're out of mini crackles.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Witchcraft, Frank Sinatra.
Okay. I mean, again,
that's
it's
a cleanup.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's
clean,
the theme of it is
I mean,
it's a little like I put a spell on you. It's a little devil
right.
in disguise. But
this, I mean, I gotta be honest. Right. This feels like a Halloween party at the nursing home. That's the only thing I'm gonna say. in terms of relevance for Frank Sinatra's song. Now look, the old people are gonna love it. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying.
I know you are not saying bad things about Frank Sinatra.
The only thing I'm saying about Frank Sinatra is he was born like 120 years ago. That's the only bad thing I'm saying about Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra saw the Great Depression happen. That's the only problem with Frank Sinatra, okay? And I think he was like 23 when it happened.
He was born in 1915. What's your point?
Okay. That's all I'm saying. Okay?
His music is timeless.
If you were born and there weren't 50 stars on the flag on the day you were born, I'm just saying maybe you have a slight relevance problem. That's the only thing I'm gonna put out there. So
pre 1959.
Anyway, I mean, I see in 1950. I'm assuming there's probably like 46 or something. They hadn't invented Oregon. I'm gonna imagine. But anyway, let's not go down this road.
They say 1859?
Oh, man. Anyway. So all right, so we got our songs, and yeah, I mean obviously you can have other ones on there. But I think for the canon, this is a pretty good canon. And yeah, pull this out for your Halloween party. Put it on, let us know how it goes. Let us know if we got some people up and dancing. People are enjoying it, you know. And if they don't like it, then tell them you picked it. It has nothing to do with us. Don't mention our name.
If they loved it, we trademark it, and you have to give us all the kudos for it.
Yeah, sure. Copyright. We copyright it.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, this has been our episode on a Halloween song canon. Come back next episode. We're gonna talk about a great story song. It's going to be a Halloween song. It's going to be a Halloween special. We've already hinted at it. So I hope you guys enjoy that. And if you could follow us on the socials like Instagram, X, which by the way, at this point,
I think we're back to Twitter.
Every time I say it, I'm like, is it even going to exist by the time this episode comes out? But anyway, if you can follow us on the socials like Instagram, X, and Facebook, we would appreciate it. And if you could leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, wherever your podcast, we would really appreciate it, and we will read it on the show. Come back next episode, we talk about another great story song. I'm Dan McInerney.
I'm Rachel Oakes.
And I'm Michael Gazelle.
We'll talk to you then. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
In the skies, oh yes you are. Heaven in the skies, oh yes you are.
Our theme music was written and performed by Jason Flowers. Find him on Twitter at Jason Flowers with a Z. Some of our bumper music was provided by Purple Planet Music.
Our logo was designed by Dan Geva. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at @story_song, and on Instagram at @StorySongPodcast.
And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you find your podcasts. The Story Song Podcast is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Go to pantheonpodcasts.com. Thanks for listening.
It's the Story Song.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.